It's Commissioner's Baltimore. What's going on downtown, Commissioner?
There's a lot going on everywhere. And, of course, you know, this time of year especially, you know, this is only brought up Federal Hill because they were in the news, you know, town hall meeting complaining about the dirt bikes and youth crime. And rightly so. I mean, look, you got to do something about this. And I'm not talking about even a county. It's noticeable, man. It's noticeable. And if you follow the news, or you open your eyes and you get real about what's going on, you know, it's a serious problem. And it really pisses me off that people, you know, talk about juvenile crime, youth crime, whatever you want to call it, like it's a bunch of just, you know, bad kids. They're just, you know, no, they're dangerous, man. They're dangerous. No sense of consequence. Carry guns, you know, carjack people, assault people. Like, I just read a story. There's a new said smoke shop. I don't know if it's a vape shop or tobacco shop, whatever, in Fells Point. Guys opened like a couple of months. The same group of kids robbed twice. And this isn't like they're shoplifting. They went in, they beat the crap out of whoever was working the store. While he's recovering, they come in a week later, beat up the new guy, robbed the store. Police apprehend them. Anybody want to guess the age? I'll give it to you, 15. They're not just kids. You know, we got to coddle. And you know damn well at 15 years old, 14 years old, 12 years old, right from wrong. And there should be consequences for your actions. I'm not saying you're going to incarcerate these kids for, give them life in prison or, you know, scar them for life with they can never work again. You got to do something, though. You can't just do nothing and be hands off with these kids. And even if they're not committing a crime specifically, something serious, there's something to be said for intimidation. And you know damn well that's exactly what they're doing. The dirt bikes are a great example. You're ripping through people's neighborhoods, you know, the 12 o'clock really nonsense, loud noises, intimidating people, like daring cars to hit you. All this stuff needs to just be taken, you know, got under control. I was in the Towson Town Center yesterday, just for an example. That's not downtown Baltimore. It's a suburban shopping mall. I parked my car, and I noticed I'm parked right near a stairwell. There's like six teenagers sitting a level down, in the stairwell, smoking joints, just sitting there loud, carrying on. I'm like, why people got to pass them in the stairwell? You want to walk past those kids? And forget you and me. About a woman there, just going about, you know, go shopping for the day. Should she have to encounter this nonsense? And they're like, well, they're not doing just, they shouldn't be doing it anyway. Not supposed to be. And I'm not there dogging the Towson security, but because they can't be everywhere. But this is a problem, man. And this
Towson security arm?
No, but I think they have some arm. But no, but I've seen Baltimore County cops in there. You know, they must be doing secondary because they had such a big problem in that high end part of the mall where Louis Vuitton was, mm-hmm. was Tiffany's was Burberry was. You know why they're not there anymore?
Because of that. Here's the problem, and. You got to kind of watch how you say this because you're not, I don't want to put down the entire profession. But we live in a social working world where social workers rule.
Yeah.
I think people have real mental health. We talk about our own personal mental health issues, but like with every issue, people abuse it. Everything that happens.
Yeah.
I love it when people say that kid's on the spectrum. Okay. All right. Larry David did something on that.
Yeah.
Remember that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because, and he did it because it's true.
Yeah.
Art imitates life.
Yeah.
He did it because it's true. It happens. When you have real issues in life, people use those issues to make excuses. And now we want more to find out what's wrong with someone when they commit crimes and actually deal with the fact that you're a criminal.
Yeah. You're right.
We want to treat them instead of treat them like a criminal. You can't treat him like a criminal. He committed a crime. So when you commit a crime, you should be treated like a criminal. Yeah. There should be some difference between a law-abiding citizen and someone who's not. Yeah. They should be treated the same.
And let's put it this way. I would assume if you're going to commit multiple murders or do, you know, seriously assault people, commit rapes, you have mental problems. I will give you that. Because actually, you know, the average person does not do this stuff. So, okay, you still got to pay for what you did. And there's a program in the city now called the Sidestep Program, aptly named. It's a way, you know, people 10 to 17 apparently fall into this catch basket or whatever, where they do not go through the criminal justice system. They sidestep the program and they get, it's called the diversion program, where they don't go through the system. The problem is, you don't know if they have criminal records. You don't know how many times they've been doing the same thing because they're not cooperating. And you know who's not involved in the program? State's attorney. And I don't blame him for being mad. He said something like, you know, we can't comment on a program we're not involved in. And of course, well, they were invited to the meeting. Look, we have such a serious problem. You know, there's been a spate of carjackings over the last couple of years. The guy killed in the squeegee incident downtown. The kid was underage. He was youth age, juvenile age crime, whatever you want to call it, carrying a gun, which was used on this guy. You can argue whatever you want about the guy get out of his car. Kids shouldn't be carrying guns in Baltimore City, and they shouldn't be using them on people because after they just disrupt the traffic, intimidate this guy, he gets out and gets murdered for it. You've got a big problem. The answer is not to do less. You can't do less than you're doing, and you can't keep coddling people because the message that you send is it's a multiple message to multiple groups of people. You send a message to the offenders that we don't take this very seriously because you're age, so you shouldn't either. You shouldn't have to worry about this because we don't take it seriously. In this sidestep program, one of the big criticisms is they don't notify the victims. So we don't give a rat's ass about the victims of crime. All we care about is the perpetrators, the offenders. How is it the victims are forgotten in this town? You're the victim of a crime. And one of the things they're doing is using unauthorized use instead of stolen car charges. No, that's different. Unauthorized use is when you keep a rental car too long, using your father's car without permission, something like that. It's not for stealing somebody's car. That's a different charge, and they're not charging with that. They're just not properly serving the residents of Baltimore who are the victims of the crimes. And that's clear. And that's the state's attorney's statement. The state's attorney, quote, the state's attorney has been specifically clear in the fact juvenile diversion for auto theft or related charges inappropriate, does not serve Baltimore residents who are the victims of these types of crime. And they're not. So my question, I guess, is why are we so concerned about the rights of criminal offenders and don't give a damn about the victims of crime here?
It's because almost as if in a social work world.
Yeah. You make excuses for everything, and you forget about the people who are just trying to get on with their lives. Just go to work every day, raise their kids, go to their job, try to enjoy their life. And then they become a crime victim, and they're treated like something you scrape off the bottom of your shoe. Yeah, you're not important. You know what's really important? The kid, the wayward youth who are doing this. That's who we're worried about. And we've got to figure out a way to help them. No! No. First of all, if you're helping them at this age, you're too late. I mean, if people know that. People are, recruit gang members in middle school. So you've already failed. So that's all I got today.
That's deep. Honestly, I don't. I guess we'll break that one off there because I would love to hear what Baltimore has to say about that. We're not going to do a call segment, but I would love to know what people think about that. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. On the other side, Ryan Clark believes Josh Allen is better equipped to win the Super Bowl this year over Lamar. Your thoughts up next on The Fan.
Storming the castle with a Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale. Get 60% off and a free entry door with a house of windows. Plus, pay nothing till 2027. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
When you talk about the Ravens, you have to talk playoffs because that's the expectations and beyond. The expectations at this point right now, Ed, is actually Super Bowl. So no one's really caring about what happens in the playoffs. Am I right?
That'd be correct because they've got to go deep in the playoffs. And anything short of a Super Bowl appearance, I think, is a disappointment for this team.
So when you talk about the AFC playoffs, or Super Bowl, I should say, it's always natural. You start off with the Chiefs because for those of you that already predicted their demise, keep in mind the team that they were game they were beaten in was the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Wasn't the first round of playoffs, wasn't divisional round. It was the Super Bowl. They went again.
I've been predicting their demise every year for the last 2 years.
I know. You saw them upset with each other on the sidelines, and I kept trying to tell you, dude, don't worry about that. They're the Chiefs.
Know, 1 year I'll be right. Because eventually they got to stop.
40-year-old Patrick Mahomes, he's done.
And they don't point. I told you. Told you they were done.
So other than the Chiefs, who are the other AFC teams?
The Bills, mm-hmm. The Ravens.
That's it for me.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it for me.
I mean, not falling into that Charger trap anymore.
You're not?
No.
Really?
Well, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. You let them start off 4-0. Rob, I'm telling you, man. You start wearing that powder blue uniform again, yep. Jersey, and telling me how good they are. No, they're not. Even with Jim Harbaugh, there's a curse on that organization. They can't win. They're the Cubs. What the Cubs were at one point. You look at these stats. He completed 66% of his passes. Playoff. This is for the playoffs. 3,359 yards, 25 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, with a passer rate of 101.7. Then you have, in 8 games, he completed 61% of his passes for 1,753 yards. 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions with a passer rate of 84.6. First stats, Josh Allen. Second stats belong to Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen by far is the better postseason quarterback.
Yeah.
We can sit and argue that Lamar should have won the MVP for the regular season, and I still say Lamar should have won the MVP for the regular season. But former defensive back, currently ESPN analyst Ryan Clark, had this to say about the two.
I do believe this is the year that one of those players gets to a Super Bowl. And if I'm being honest, I have more trust in Josh Allen. The reason I have more trust in Josh Allen is because I've seen him perform on the biggest stages, whether it's the AFC Championship, the divisional round in the playoffs, standing across from Patrick Mahomes. There was no difference in the way that those two quarterbacks led their team. Think back to last year on the Trent McDuffie fourth down blitz. Josh Allen gives Dalton Kincaid an opportunity to win that game. And so for me, Lamar Jackson has nothing to prove to me in the regular season, nothing to say to me or prove to me about being one of the greatest quarterbacks of this era, but he has to perform in the playoffs. And when you look at the way that both of these teams are constructed, they are built to win. But the quarterback that I trust most out of those two in the playoffs is Josh Allen.
What he said.
I mean,
what
he
said.
Argue with it.
What he
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
You know, last year, everybody's talking to MVP. I kept saying, I'm so sick of talking to MVP. How about win a Super Bowl MVP? I'm so sick of it. What Ryan Clark echoed my sentiments. I got nothing else to say. Drop the mic. And you all can sit and argue it all you want.
This is the quickest way.
You can do it. Men lie. Women lie. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
And the numbers suggest that Josh Allen is the better postseason quarterback.
You have more faith in it, and you just do. And the problem is, the longer this goes, the worse it's going to get, because everyone expects the Ravens to win the division. They may be 13-4, 12-5, whatever it is. They're going to have a good record again this year. It's a given. If they don't, I'd be shocked. But when you get to the postseason, everyone kind of just, you know, shakes their head and says, well, they're not good in the postseason. And that becomes your reality.
And that's why I'm so tired of people saying John Harbaugh has to win one. John Harbaugh has won one with a quarterback that wasn't as talented as Lamar.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh has won one. Give it to Ray Lewis. Give whoever you want the credit. You can always give players the credit for winning Super Bowls. How many did Andy Reid win before Patrick Mahomes? None.
None. Yeah.
But the bottom line is, no. John Harbaugh doesn't have to win one. He's got one. Lamar Jackson has to win one. 410-583-1057 is the number. Shiloh in West Baltimore. What's up, Shiloh?
Hey, Rob. Uh-huh. Hey, Rob.
Uh-huh.
Hey, look. Check this out, right? I told my man, right? I said, I'm tired, man. I don't have it in me today. But I'm listening to you, right? Come on, Rob. Hey, let me get this out real fast.
Go ahead.
So I heard him yesterday or I watched him on TV. I heard, man, all right. Hey, well, let me just look. Check this out, right? Check this out. All right, who played better in the playoffs? If you ain't playing in the Super Bowl or win, they all on the same level to me. Lamar, Josh Allen, same level.
No, that's not the topic. Shiloh, that wasn't the topic. The topic was, if you watched it, who do you trust to get there? It's the topic started off as neither has been there before, but based on what you've seen, who do you trust to get there? That was the topic.
But let me finish though real fast, Rob. So look, can you hear me? Look, check this out.
Uh-huh.
When y'all guys say, y'all like, let's say Pat, I got to give y'all credit because he got the hardware, right? At the end of the day, and let me say this before you cut me off. Lamar ain't got the hardware. And Josh Allen.
Okay,
Shiloh,
who do you trust to get there first? If you had to pick a quarterback and you didn't like either one of these guys, you didn't root for either one of these guys, in the postseason, who are you going to pick?
Man, I'm going with Lamar because
okay.
You know what?
Because you like him and you cheer for him and he's your quarterback in Baltimore. Come on, man. Come on. I mean, Ed, you and I both are board members of the Lamar Jackson fan club.
Yeah.
Before a lot of these yahoos out here liked them.
Yeah.
But Ed.
I mean, Ed. I can't. I just can't.
Who are you going with?
I can't take him seriously.
You can't give me neither has the hardware. But that was part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Neither has the hardware. However, based on what they've done, mm-hmm. who do you trust to get there?
Yeah.
That was the conversation. We know they don't have it either. That's why these two were brought in. They didn't bring Patrick Mahomes to the conversation. They brought the top two dogs mm-hmm. that have no hardware.
Sucks the energy out of me.
Ed Towson, what's up, Ed?
Oh, my God. Woo! But look,
he's concise. You got to give him that. He gets right to the
point. There you go, dog. You got it. Look, real, real simple. You know, nobody knows who – I'm going to name a few of the Buffalo players, like Dalton Kincaid and a couple of those guys. Nobody knows who those guys are. Why? Because Josh Allen puts the game on his back. He doesn't throw – now, he throws interceptions during the season, but when it gets to the big game, he's not throwing errant interceptions. He's running the ball as much as anybody else, but he's not putting the ball on the ground in impromptu situations.
Well, I'll say this, though. I hear what you're saying about you don't know these guys. You don't know these guys because you don't watch their team. Joe, where was Dalton Kincaid drafted?
Josh Allen has a first-round pick in Dalton Kincaid.
I mean, you don't know who these guys are because you don't cheer for the Buffalo Bills, but let's not act like these guys are nobodies. They're pretty good. I'm not going roster for roster on you because, yeah, the Ravens, I think, have the better roster.
Which makes it even worse.
Exactly. That's exactly. We'll talk O's, Cardinals at 7:45, but on the other side, do you feel the Ravens have done enough to create a lockdown secondary in 2025? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Can I say something real quick, Ed, about the last segment?
Yeah.
If the numbers were reversed and Lamar Jackson had the better numbers – and we said that we prefer Josh Allen, who doesn't have the better numbers, then Shala would call in and point out that Lamar Jackson had the better numbers.
Yeah.
Then numbers would matter. they're only irrelevant because he doesn't have the better numbers. But the Ravens turned the page of the 2024 season, getting ready for 2025. And one of the weaknesses of this team was secondary. We both agree? On defense?
Yeah, it was supposed to be the strongest unit, and then it wasn't.
And then it wasn't. Real quickly, do you think this team is closer right now to being a shutdown secondary with what they've done in the offseason?
No. No. I think that injury to Ardarius Washington is a huge blow to that secondary. Because everyone looks at cornerback. And look, picking up Starks in the draft was terrific. But it was going to be terrific when he was going to be a nice addition to the safety room. I'm concerned, man. I am very concerned.
You think they need to do more?
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, the draft's over, obviously. You'll have to see, but I don't know. Because it was the second half of the year. They got their act together. The defense was much better. But I am concerned about the secondary for sure. Just because, you know, I don't know. There's guys I'd like to see more of. And I just don't know, you know, what we're going to see. Like Jalen Armour Davis, you know. I'd see more of TJ Tampa. He's a, you know, physical guy and he could have good upside. Yes, sir, you in the front.
I just learned that the Jaguars have 4 days to trade Jalen Ramsey before.
I heard this yesterday.
Owe him $10 million. So,
yeah, someone mentioned Jalen Ramsey.
How do you feel
Ramsey
about that now? They saved some money by signing your running back.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
I would love to see him here because they need help.
He's due $25 million next year. Would you be willing to pay that?
How much?
$25 million.
Yeah, probably.
It's the price of winning it, man.
It's the price. I mean, that's what they call
it. It's the price of winning it, man. I'm like, if the Ravens can make it work under the cap, hey, Lamar, come here, man. You want to win? Let Ramsey in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sign. Go ahead, do your contract extension. Look, man, I'm normally I would say, nah, but no. Go for it now. That window, it's still open, but Ed, windows don't open water in sports. They start closing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think right now the Ravens are at a point where the window can't be open anymore or it's beginning to close. One of the two. Mm-hmm. It's not opening water. Ed, we're not alone. Sean in Baltimore, what's up, man?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, I guess I luckily called in at the right time because I was going to ask. I think even just from the player standpoint, but also just from the knowledge and being a veteran standpoint, do you think that it would be good to bring in Jalen Ramsey?
Can you imagine having him back there with Starks and young corner we got last year from Clemson?
Wiggins.
Man, that would be – I mean, we talked about with the Orioles getting someone who's been there before. You're getting a corner who's a defensive back who's been there before, Sean, who will prove to you when he's with the Rams – he can play multiple positions. He can play in the slot. He can play back. He can do it all in that secondary.
Exactly. And it would just give more people reasons to hate us for having the great roster.
He was the power move. BDE. I would love it. I love that.
Let me tell you, I think it'd be a great addition because you look at this. Marlon Humphrey had one of the best seasons he had. Like, he had 6 picks last year. And I don't look at interceptions because that could be you're in the right spot when there's a pass deflection.
Yep.
There's things happen.
Yep.
But he did have 6 last year.
But we do know he had a couple of big ones too. Yeah. Where he made the play on the ball.
So he had 6 picks last year, 2 forced fumbles. Nowhere near the 80 he had in 2020, but he had 2 forced fumbles. He was looking like the Marlon Humphrey we remember. So if he can repeat that season, have something similar to what he did last season, Wiggins, I think, is going to be good. I'd like to see what TJ Tampa can do. The safety core is good but thin now.
I said Jacksonville. Miami has. Jacksonville. I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant Miami.
So it was funny. Somebody brought up his name to me yesterday, so this must be kicking around. I don't know if it was my son or Michael. Somebody brought it up. But I'd love to see him on the team because, Jair Alexander was the name that, was talked about months ago. And obviously that didn't happen. But they could use some cornerback depth.
I'd rather have Jalen Ramsey. I think he has enough left in the tank because he doesn't have to come here and be the guy. He's a guy here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what he is. He's a guy here. I'm all for that because, Ed, he's been there before.
Mm-hmm.
I want a guy who's been there before. I want a guy who says, it was great getting Derrick Henry in here. It was.
Yeah.
For talent.
Yeah.
But he hadn't been there. Bringing a guy who's been, he hadn't been there. He can't say, hey, guys, I remember when I did this, because he never did it. You can bring in a guy who's done it before. Man, give me that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shoo.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the two I wanted. So I'd love to get either one, but if he's available, because they can't pay him?
I'm getting...
Okay.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. I feel about it this the way I felt when we talked about the possibility of Henry coming
in.
That's
how I feel, yes.
Mm-hmm. Get one of the old guys, but they're still productive.
Yep.
You know, it's like bringing in DeAndre Hopkins. Well, he's not what he used to be. He doesn't have to be.
Right. He'd be 90% of what he used to be, 85%. He's still better than most of these guys out there. So, yeah. I would love to see this happen. Because, that was supposed to be the strongest part of the team last year, and then it just wasn't. I don't know. You had to ask Kyle Hamilton to do a lot to keep the unit together.
It's the difference between asking Kyle Hamilton to do a lot and allowing Kyle Hamilton to do a lot. Mm-hmm. He's better when you allow him to do a lot.
Yeah, because he can. He can do a ton. He can do a ton.
Could Buck Showalter return to the Charm City? We'll talk about that at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, looking at the O's Cardinals from last night, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
That's hit to deep right center field. Kerstad is back. He's still going back, and he will make a sliding attempt, and the ball gets away. Rounding second and heading for third is Gorman, and he'll make it. Well, Mateo and Kerstad out there in right center. Heston went a long way along the warning track. Got a glove on it, I think, but he couldn't hold it in.
Mateo and Kerstad out there. They may as well say Long and Norris. We had just as good of a chance to catch that as they did.
Yeah.
Triples. You know, if I'm Bron Beck, I'm like, triple? Those are triples? Those are triples. Those are fly balls. They ended up the triples.
Yeah.
See, this is what ticks me off about this whole segment right here. Joe starts off with one of the happiest songs in the history of mankind. And he plays that, he uses that as a music bed under tragedy. Joe, that's one of the happiest songs. That song is happier for me than Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's annoying. Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't tell me what to do.
Except, that is one of my happy, that's one of my favorite songs. That's like it a little summertime song.
The beginning of the song with the clap. I used to love that video, man. It had DiMaggio and all those guys in the video. That was a good video.
You know what else is annoying? Putting Jorge Mateo in center field.
That's annoying.
That triple, quote unquote, that he didn't catch, you could see he thinks that he's about to hit the wall.
Yeah.
It's like 8 feet behind him.
Yeah. Also, the ball that everyone says was a great play when he ended up over the wall in Boston, a center fielder's back is against the wall on that ball.
Mm-hmm.
His back is against the wall reaching up for that one. But he misplayed it.
Look at me. I can be center field.
No, you can't.
I know. just listen to the song too much.
That's the point.
That should be the response to it. Look at me. I can be center field. No, you can't.
No.
And listen, I hate that I have to reference that. I like the guy. I do. But I love winning. And I'm not even going to criticize Mancino for putting him out there because at this point, who? If not him, who? Mullins wasn't available. I mean, who else are you going to do? I mean, that's just weird. Again, that outfield last night was a microcosm of the season. These guys.
Yeah. But this is why I don't – see, he's dogging Mateo. And, yes, I like Mateo.
You love him.
Not his fault, though. He's not a center fielder. I mean, they put him out there because they're desperate. I mean, I think people just, there's two things people think are easy to play. The outfield and first base.
I agree with you.
It's just they're not.
I completely, because listen, if the shortstop throws it right at you, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. But the shortstop gets one in a hole and spikes one right in front of you. Now what are you going to do?
And that happens quite often.
Just ask
throws
Mountcastle.
Errant and stuff like that. Yes. I mean, Mountcastle's actually a good fielder.
He saves a lot of errors.
He saves a lot of errors for people. He just does. But there's some things that still go on that I just don't understand. I mean, I'll give you Mateo in center field. I don't know if he's the only option you have. But, okay. But why are we still, pinch hitting for O'Hearn with left-handers?
Did they do that last night?
Not last
night. Oh, okay.
The other day. Rivera pinch hit, I believe. And, what are we
doing? Rivera pinch hit for O'Hearn? You saw that? I'm not disputing it, but.
Yeah. I think it was a couple of days ago, if I remember. But maybe I'm mistaken.
I hope you're mistaken.
It's just like, when are we going to stop doing this with guys? It's just like, I don't know. I don't know, you know, when it's going to stop, because I get the whole righty-lefty thing. The guy's batting 340. Let's take a shot. I mean, seriously, let's take a shot that he, you know, he can do it. It's just, I don't quite understand.
I changed my stance on something for last night.
What?
I just realized something. What am I talking about? Dylan Carlson has played 230 games in center field. Why isn't he in center field?
That's what I mean. There's no other options? Like, yeah.
He's played 200. When you said there are no other options, I'm like, wait a minute. Dylan Carlson was in the outfield. Why is he not in center field? I'd put him in center field, put Kerstad in right, and put your weakest outfielder in left. And that's Mateo.
Yeah.
If you got to have him out there, don't have him in center field. Yeah, I changed my stance on that. 230 career games in center field, let him play it. Mike yes. in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
I don't all know.
Right. <You're>
I don't know.
Hey, man, do y'all think it's like fool's gold, a little three-game winning streak, and we want to revert back to our previous play, or do you think it might be the start of a turnaround?
Mike, I got to see how they respond today or tomorrow whenever they play this game. I mean, because you know it could go both ways. I mean, you're presenting a possibility. It could be 162 games, and you're going to win three or four in a row at some point, or it could be the start of you maybe turning this thing around a little bit. Mm-hmm. I have to see what happens in the next two or three games before I can answer that one.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's a valid question, though. It's a valid question.
Mateo is just getting put in a bad situation. Like I said, I don't blame him. The man's not center fielder. And, you know, I don't blame him.
I don't either, Mike. Yeah. But the fact that he's not a center fielder, why didn't you put the guy who started the game who is a center fielder in center field then?
You said that Carlson played some
230 games. 230 yeah. games in his career at center field. Yeah. Center field, play him.
Putting Fontana out of position is costing us games, man. You know, earlier in the year, he had some cuts of the ball. So, like I said, you know, the man's been put in a bad situation. I don't blame him, but that's risky, man.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
All right.
I'm doing all right. Will the Orioles go after a starting pitcher in bullpen depth, or have they given up on this season? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. I don't know. Do you have a combination of guys you can trade for starting pitching right now, in your opinion? Bullpen depth, you can always get bullpen depth, but starting pitching.
But for who? I mean, of course, yeah. Do we have guys? Sure. Depends what you want to give up.
Because both could be true what Antonio said. He said, are they going to trade for starting pitching or have they given up on the season? Both can happen. Mm-hmm. They could trade some guys because yeah. they've given up on the season. You could package Mountcastle, O'Hearn, and Cedric Mullen maybe and get yourself a nice young starting pitcher off a losing team. Another losing team. You could do that. So you could trade those guys because you've given up on them. I don't know.
And I'll be honest with you. Pick a pitcher. I mean, whoever's anybody right now. The best pitcher in baseball at the moment. Put him in the rotation. Does that change our fortunes here? There's too many things going on. I mean, it just doesn't really. I don't know. To me, it doesn't really make a difference. There's so many problems that are going on right now. When you just look at, you know, the offense isn't clicking, it's fielding mistakes, it beat up. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean,
Max Fried was out there. You know, the Yankees in the pickup. If you had Max Fried, would that matter right now? Nah.
Things are going for us, he may be hurt. I don't know what bug is going around that clubhouse, man.
Because the names last year was Crochet, obviously. Fried, Evaldi ends up staying where he was. Cody Senga stayed where he was. It's just, I don't know. Like, if you pick up any of these premier pitchers, Skubal, Skeens, I mean, if anybody, even forgetting it, it's like, does it really change the Orioles' fortunes the way they're playing as a team?
You'd sell out with Skeens pitch.
You would.
Change that fortune.
Yeah.
Ben Wagner joins us to talk more Orioles baseball at 8:30, but on the other side, former Orioles manager Buck Showalter talked to our buddy Glenn Clark. Is he open to a reunion here in Baltimore? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.